So we're going to take the next few weeks and we're going to address some of life's big questions. I mean, many of us, I'm sure, have big questions in our hearts and in our minds, and we're going to take the next few weeks and focus on those big questions. And just so you understand, and it'll be in next week's bulletin, and we'll have something for you to hand out as well, is these are the items that we're going to address, the questions that we're going to address over the next few, if it will go, and it won't go. So we are going to address actually these questions, and I'll read them to you. Oh, they're there. So the first, and on May 5th, today we're going to talk about, does life have a purpose? Then next week, is there a God? Question many people ask. Then on May 19th, why does God allow pain and suffering? Then on May 26th, is Christianity too narrow? And then on June 2nd, is Jesus really God? Then June 9th, is the Bible reliable? And June 16th, can I know God personally? Now, as part of this, what I'm going to do is actually on May 19th and June 2nd and June 9th, right after the service as well, we're going to have a time of Ask the Pastor and discussion in the fellowship hall. And so what I encourage you to do is to invite your neighbors and your friends and people that you know around you that may have questions, that may have doubt, and that these questions that we're going to focus on may be something that will help them understand something about their faith. And then hopefully, if during the discussion time they can ask a question that hopefully I'll be able to answer, it's a time for them to learn even more. So this is actually a time for us, because many of us probably have some of these as questions right now. But also there's many people throughout our community that right now are questioning a lot of this that we're going to be talking about. So it's an opportunity for us to engage in discussion with those people in a way that is beneficial, in a way that is love-oriented and respect-oriented as well. So I encourage you, invite your friends, invite your family members, invite those neighbors that are nearby, those that may benefit from hearing this. We encourage you to do that today. Does that sound good? Good. So today we're going to focus on the idea of, does life have a purpose? You know, I can tell you that when I was, before I was 23 and baptized and confirmed, this was something I struggled with big time. When I was going through high school, when I was going through junior high, I questioned really whether there was a purpose to life. I struggled with depression. I struggled with the fact I didn't have any friends. I struggled with the fact that I didn't fit in certain areas and I wasn't in the you know, popular group of children. And I really wondered, what was the purpose of it all? What was the purpose to life? And I was extremely, extremely depressed. Now, many of you may feel that way at some point in your life. Many of us feel at times that there's not quite a purpose in life. And many of us, we don't spend a lot of time thinking about our purpose, or at least the larger scale, the cosmic scale of the purpose of life. And sometimes if we actually deep down think about it, it can actually get pretty troubling, especially if we suspect in reality that there isn't really a purpose. On the other hand, even those who believe, those who live here and have some understanding of who Jesus is, who believe that there is ultimate meaning in life, finding answers to life's simple questions can still be pretty difficult. Everyday questions can be difficult. And many people struggle with feeling like in their life there is an overarching purpose and a reason for being. And that's why suicide rates are increasing greatly in our culture today. In 2017, there were over 47,000 suicides in the United States. Over 1,400,000 attempted suicides. And it may surprise you, but the age group that is the largest among those who committed suicide are middle-aged white men. Middle-aged white men from 45 to 54 years old. And that reason is stated to be because they felt that life was meaningless in the crisis of their life. If you break that down, that's 129 suicides a day. The number two group in suicides is the group 85 years and older. That at the end of life, they feel they have no purpose and that there's nothing left. See, this is a major question and a major struggle for us, for this culture and this society as a whole. Where do we find the purpose to life? What are we putting things that really are supposed to be there? What is the clear focus that God has given us? And the questions that we ask sometimes aren't the ones that we really need to ask. We ask ourselves, where should I spend time? Who should I spend time with? Where should I work? Or how should I spend my money? Or maybe it's just things as, how do I prioritize my life? And those questions are good to ask, but if you don't know your overall purpose, you don't know what the reason you're here for, then those questions are awfully hard to answer. And there are many quotes throughout history that have gotten to this struggle. Leo Tolstoy said this, "Then what is life for? To die? To kill myself at once? No, I am afraid. To wait for death till it comes? I fear that even more. Then I must live, but for what? Or what for? In order to die?" You hear there the struggle that he's having, right? And then we can also hear from Ernest Hemingway, who wrote, "Life is just a dirty trick, a short journey from nothingness to nothingness." That's harsh, isn't it? And then from Henry David Thoreau, "The mass of men live lives of quiet desperation." None of those are great pictures of life, is it? But we can see there that there are so many people around us that are broken and struggling with depression and feeling like there is no purpose in life. It's amazing how many people are struggling with this in our world today, because there's so much that is coming at us to tell us what is the purpose of our lives, but yet in reality, they're missing the mark completely. We see these quotes, but the first person who wrote about this in detail was a king who was searching for meaning. He was the king over the nation of Israel. This is King Solomon is who I'm talking about. King Solomon actually wrote about the struggle to find purpose in life, and he was more rich, more powerful. He was a wise man, living as if anybody had never lived it like he had lived. He had it all, you would say. He had tried it all. And he discovered some profound things as a result of his life. We're focused in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I ask you to read these verses with me as we go through them. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem." Now that is Solomon. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north." Around goes the wind. "And on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, 'See this new'? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who have come after. Amazing when we think about this, isn't it? I mean, listen to those words. This is the struggle of a man that we may say is what the struggle of many people have today. When he talks about at the beginning, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He's saying life is actually nothing but despair and frustration. That's all it is. Vanity is this enormous loop of life searching for meaning. In the Septuagint, which is an old Greek document, the word that is translated there, instead of vanities, it reads frustration. Frustration of frustrations, says the preacher. Frustration of frustrations. All is frustration. It's amazing when you think about that. That here the man who had it all, who had everything you could ever imagine, who had more money and power and position and everything than any one of us could ever think about. And here is what he writes about the meaning of life, about his purpose. I mean, his introduction and even his conclusion implies that riches and power and status, education, sex, adrenaline, knowledge, you name it, they aren't the things that give us meaning. They aren't the things that give us meaning in our life. All of these things are temporary things that distract us from the true question of what is our purpose in life. And it gives us some temporary satisfaction, yes, but they will not reveal to us our purpose and our understanding of what God has given us as our purpose in life. Many of you may think back and remember the story of the Chilean miners. Anybody remember that? I mean, the Chilean miners were a group of miners who were working down in a mine in August 5th of 2010. And actually, at that time, the whole sort of thing collapsed and they were stuck down in the mine. There were 33 miners trapped 2,300 feet underground. Most people thought that was it. Those miners were lost. But what they decided to do was to try to figure out a way to actually see if they were alive or if they could get air down there or whatever they could. So they started boring down sort of where they thought the mine was and where these miners might be gathered. And they started boring down the 2,300 feet all the way through the ground. And they just did this for a number of days. And on August 22nd of 2010, they pulled up one of their boring bits, and at the end of it was attached a note. And written in red ink, this note said this: "We are fine in the shelter, the 33 of us, or the 33. I mean, think about it, that's over two weeks after the mine had collapsed. Suddenly there was this joy that the miners said they were okay. And the question became is, what do we do and how do we rescue them? Well, what they did was they actually decided to make a bigger hole and actually go all the way down, and they created this capsule that people actually stood, and you can see it there on the left. And actually what they did was they actually retrieved them out of there on October 13th is when the first one came out. And when he came out, you can see the joy that was there as he's there in the yellow hat on the upper right, as people were so happy that he was saved. And one by one, they took that trip in that capsule all the way out, and they were rescued. Now, many of us know that story, but what we don't know is the story of what happened after. Many of those men, even though they were rescued and set free, struggled big time. A number of them ended up in divorce. Financially, they were a wreck. Many of them, almost all of them, suffered with depression. One man found himself building a wall around his house and had no idea why he was building a wall. But it made him feel comfortable. all of them said that they still felt like they were trapped, that they somehow weren't free. Now, I bring this up because what it shows and what people have said about those Chilean miners is that one time we can be rescued once, but sometime we need a second rescue. Sometime we need a second rescue to get us to truly understand what freedom is and what we are called to actually be and do. And many of us are here in the church today. We have been rescued by Jesus and we are saved by him as well, which is true. But maybe we need a second awakening, a second understanding of what our purpose is. Dave Rhodes, a good friend of mine, says this: freedom is not the ability to do anything that you want to do. Freedom is the capacity to become who you were always destined to be. I love that because we have taken the word freedom in our country today and meant it to mean that you can do anything that you want to do. But the true meaning of freedom in Christ is the idea that we have the capability to become who we were always destined to be. And today what I want to do is invite you to embrace Jesus' challenge of what your true purpose is in life in the light of God's plan. Now, Dave also said this, that if you don't know who you are created to be, that you will become whatever people pay you to be. Isn't that a great quote? Now you understand why Dave is a friend of mine, right? I mean, he's a mentor of mine, and I've known him probably for 7 years. He's just a tremendous guy, and he puts quotes like this together that just bring things to home, and this is so true. If we don't know who we're created to be, we're going to let this world influence us and tell us who we think we are supposed to be. And every person on earth has been created to know and to love God personally. And what we have to understand is that life is meaningless without God. But God gives everything meaning. Life is meaningless without God, but God gives everything meaning. It's not a coincidence that as we've pulled God out of schools and out of society, and we've pushed it to the edges of culture, that more and more people are feeling like life is meaningless. It is not a coincidence. So I ask you today to consider how you live. Do you live as if there is a God? Or do you live as if there is no God? Believing in God and that he exists and living as if he doesn't exist. I ask this because one of the fastest growing religions in America is practical atheism. This is living as if there is no God. These are people that proclaim that they know God, but their actions and how they live actually do not show him at all. Those who claim to believe God but live as if he doesn't exist. Those that truly encourage them how to truly live their lives. They actually believe God and say, yes, I believe in God, and they leave the church, but then the rest of the week they live just like everybody else. And there's no difference in what they see. See, understand how this might affect your view of the meaning of life. If you live as a practical atheist where you just live like everyone else, well, then of course you're going to feel your life is meaningless. And the greatest single cause of atheism in our world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. See, the thing we have to remember is that when we're taking our last breath, what will you be longing for? Will you be longing to earn more money? To achieve more status in your life? Will you be longing to network with the right people? One of our members here and an elder reminds us of this, that you can't take it with you with a U-Haul behind the hearse. That you cannot take it with you. that truly what matters at the end of life, when you're taking your last breath, to understand our purpose in life is truly so much more than everything that we tend to focus on. And Matthew, the reason we do this is because we tend to worry about everything in this world, don't we? We tend to worry about, are we going to be taken care of? Are we going to have what we need? But Matthew actually gives us the answer to this. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan or his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into heaven, into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For listen to this. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Awesome words. I say they're awesome because this is what changed my life. These verses are what my father-in-law lived when I was an unbeliever, when I was 21 and 22 and got to know him. And he used to quote these verses as a farmer and say, I don't worry about anything. Why? Because God's going to provide. And he'd point to the sparrows that are in the barn and he'd say, he provides for them. Isn't he going to provide for me? Because I'm so much more valuable. He started to change my focus on what was important in life. And see, Jesus challenges us to seek the kingdom of God first, and that the rest of our lives then will have meaning and purpose. See, Christ, by virtue of his cross and resurrection, he redeemed us from a meaningless life. He redeemed us into his plan and into his life. And Psalm 57 says, I cry out to the Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose in me. See, God is going to fulfill his purpose in us. And the key to understanding God's purpose for your life is to understand truly, yes, he does have the days numbered, and he also knows what you will be doing, but we also have to make choices. And choices really matter. We can decide how to prioritize things and what to do. And to find our purpose in life, the first thing we need to do is go to God in prayer. Start by seeking the kingdom of God first. Ask God for wisdom and direction in your life. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. That's good news, because God wants to give you his purpose for you. Ask God for purpose and expect him to give it to you. Next, dig into God's word. That's where we find the truth. That's where, in the Bible, where we truly find what our purpose is. And I'll give you a little hint. Our purpose is to live as disciples who make disciples, who magnify Jesus, not ourselves, who reflect Jesus in everything that we do. I can't think of a greater purpose in life than that, can you? Amen. That's truly what life is meant to be. Next, what do we have to do is determine our strengths and our gifts. Understand what we have been gifted with, because I have different gifts than you, and figure out how we can best use them. Determine what your passion is and combine that passion with your gifts. And then bring others into your life, people like Dave Rhodes that can speak truth in your life and help you gain understanding. Take a solitude retreat. Go off by yourself. I'm not meaning like a week or two. Maybe a day, right? And take a day and try to just get away in God's word and hear what he's saying to you. And then finally, in the end, trust God. Trust God and know that he is going to provide meaning for your life. He says to us to seek the kingdom of God, that is our purpose. And there are many plans in a person's heart, it says in Proverbs, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Truly, it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. And I believe each one of us needs to seek this purpose in our lives. One tool I have that I can offer you is this. It's a process called Unique. This is a process where you can determine what your specific purpose and call is for your life. And it's something I can lead you through. It's actually two 12-week journeys that you go through. And I would encourage you, if you are struggling with finding purpose or you want to clarify what your specific call is in life, please let me know. I would love to take you through this process so that God can clarify in you what is your unique call in this world and what is your unique purpose. It begins with first seeking God and nothing else in this world. Well, today I hope that this was beneficial, that we need to know that truly God needs to be at the center of our life for us to have purpose at all. And it is God in the Spirit that gives us purpose. And so today, as we receive his body and blood here in just a moment, know that that is also something that is given to us to strengthen our faith in him so that we can truly follow his purpose in this world. It is in his name and to his glory we pray. Amen. Well, as we prepare our time for communion, one of the things that we also do is we also confess the faith that we share together. This is something we do because as a family of God, we come together and we say yes to one another, this is what I believe. And the reason we say this is because when we say this is what I believe,